Hey, hey, hey. Thanks very much indeed for showing up for this episode 9 of the What's Racing About podcast, The Wrap, the podcast that helps you get the most out of UK and Irish horse racing. I'm Peter Bell, and in this episode, I thought I'd walk the Wrap listenership through a day at the races as experienced by yours truly, if for no other reason than to show you how I have a grand old time whenever I go racing. Now, in undertaking this exercise, I'm fully aware that it's a bit like you having to listen to a bootleg live album, in that there's going to be plenty of fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants unscripted stuff, where it's basically me, Podcast Pete, reacting to events that happen at the racecourse. Furthermore, it's not recorded in a pristine studio under sonically precision-engineered conditions. It's me with my little handheld recording device kicking it live with plenty of background noise and chat. But I hope you feel that this adds to the overall atmosphere and the vibe for this particular podcast. Now, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that this is the template for you to follow if and when you go racing. You just go with your bad selves, and if that involves blue tacking your bum to a seat in the bar for the day or laying waste to several bottles of champagne, well, you go for it. All I'm saying is that what follows here is an insight into what rocks my world when I walk through the gates of a racecourse. In this case, Chepstow Racecourse, on Saturday the 9th of October 2021, for the first of their jumps meetings of the new National Hunt season. I hope you enjoy it. Let's go. Over the Severn Bridge we've come and into Bonny Wales, and oh, what a beautiful morning it is. Your pulse really quickens on days like this. It's a lovely sunny day and we're in the car park. I've just done the little idiot car park dance with the parking guy, who's moved me over 1 millimetre to the car next door to me. But that's his job, so hey, let's not get too bent out of shape about it. Life is good, and we're going to go racing. Today's going to be all about trying to take a novice race goer through what I consider to be a good day at the races. Let's get cracking. Let's get into the race course and see what Chepstow's got to offer us. Right, I'm in at lovely sunny Chepstow. It's an absolutely stunning day today. If you had a day like this for the Derby, you'd feel blessed. And here we are, what, the second weekend in October, and it's cracking the flagstones. It's been about 20 years since I was last at Chepstow, and just re-familiarising myself with the course. It's a undulating course, and it's got a really tight bend down at the bottom paddock bend. You get a few horses maybe slipping down there, but hopefully none of that will happen today. The course looks in absolutely tip-top condition, as you'd expect for the first day, effectively, of the new jump season. I'm just going to go and have a little look round and try and refamiliarise myself with bars, betting, maybe get a bite to eat somewhere as well. Feeling hungry. Talk to you again shortly. To drink or not to drink? That is the question. There's plenty of professional punters who will not take a drink at the racecourse, and that is perfectly laudable and completely understandable. Getting wasted at the racecourse does not make for savvy punting. Having said that, I've got my bets already sorted out for today, and I don't see anything wrong with having a little livener. So the first Guinness of the new National Hunt season is sliding down an absolute treat at the moment. It will just be the only Guinness, though. I am driving, I am a responsible citizen, and there is absolutely no point for me anyway in coming to a day at the races and getting absolutely smashed off your face. There's too much other good stuff going on to miss out by being a boring, generic drunk. Just my view. You may feel differently. And as I say, this podcast is all about getting the most from UK and Irish horse racing. I'd like to think the emphasis is, though, on the horse racing as opposed to the drinking. There's six races here today. The first race is going to be a juvenile hurdle at 1:15. It's called juvenile because these are for three-year-old horses. There are going to be four-year-old horses in the new year. Every horse has its birthday on the 1st of January. But these are basically babies. They're going to be running 2 miles on good ground. Five horses declared. Not for me a betting prospect. I will just let this one slide by. See if there's anything to be learned for the future. But I'm happy to always let the first race go by and just sort of pick up any tips, see what the ground's doing, see if the jockeys come to a particular side of the course. You just learn a lot from the first race, so I'll let that one go by. Second race at 1:50, that's a handicap hurdle race. Handicap races, Every horse in training has or will have a handicap mark, and it's given to him by him or her by the handicapper, who basically allocates a rating for the horse based on how it's done in its races to date. And the horse can go up the handicap, or if it's doing particularly badly, it can come down the handicap. The 150 is a class 2 handicap hurdle. Class 2, as it implies, is a fairly decent class. The only class above it is group class, or graded class, on the over the jumps. So this is a pretty decent quality race, and it's a 2 mile race, so it's going to be, in jumps racing terms, a bit of a flat out sprint. Of course they're not sprinting, but it's a short race as far as jumps racing goes over the minimum trip. I had a look at this last night, and again I've not got a particular opinion on this race, so I'll probably let this one go by. You're probably wondering why. You do not have to back in every race. Those that do are probably playing into the bookmakers' hands. The bookmakers have to bet in every race. You as a punter don't. And if you don't have a strong opinion, my opinion, it's often best just to keep out, watch the races, make some notes, see if you can learn something interesting for another day. But don't feel you've got to bet in every race just because you're there at the race course. Third race is the Native River Handicap Steeplechase over nearly 3 miles. So it's another handicap race. It's another class 2 handicap race. But it's a steeplechase race, so this is over bigger jumps and for more mature horses in general. Native River was, and still is, a fantastic 3 mile chaser. Won the Gold Cup a couple of years back. Usually partnered by Richard Johnson, who's now retired. Trained by Colin Tizard. And one of the reasons, really, why people keep coming back to jumps racing time and time again, to see horses like this season in, season out, plowing away. He used to go really well on soft ground. He would run through a brick wall for you. Very tough horse and a real crowd favourite in general. It's great to see that Chepso have named a race after him. I'm going to have a big bet in this race, big for me, it's my biggest bet of the day. Number 13, Courtmaster. I won't bore you at this stage with explaining why. You'll know the result by the time this podcast goes out. But we'll have a little tickle on Courtmaster. His breeding looks good for this race. He's put up very solid speed figures, and those are the things that I put a lot of emphasis on. Why? Well, basically because other people don't, particularly in jumps racing, they don't pay much attention to speed figures, they don't pay much attention to breeding. I do, and that gives me the edge. I think I know something about this horse that plenty of other people maybe don't. I've backed him on the exchanges at around about 10 to 1, so fingers crossed for Courtmaster in the third race at 2.25. Fourth race at 3 o'clock is another steeplechase race over the biggest obstacles. This is a novice chase. As the name implies, these are for first season chasers, thus the word novice in the title. Six runners. I don't have, a major opinion on this in terms of a betting heat. I think probably Fidelio Vallis will win. It's trained by champion trainer Paul Nichols, and he targets this two-day meeting. He usually goes away with at least three or four winners. And this looks like a good race for him to hit the scoreboard with Fidelio Vallis, number 2. But again, you can see if that's made a mug of me, because you'll know the result of this by the time the podcast goes out. Fifth race is probably the biggest betting heat of the day. It's another handicap race, but it's a class 1. So it's a top class handicap race over nearly 2.5 miles. 18 runners declared. I don't think there's any non-runners. There are plenty of horses in this that I took a look at last night, and my shortlist was not much of a shortlist, it was a long list. I will probably have a small punt on number 14, Orby's Legend. It's trained by Philip Hobbs, who's going really well at the moment, and I think this horse hasn't had that many races, so its handicap mark is probably fairly lenient in racing terms. You often hear the term unexposed. An unexposed horse is really a racing term for it's not raced very much. Why is that a good thing? Well, if it's not raced very much, usually there's room for improvement in it. By the time a horse has run, 15, 20, 30 times, there's not many secrets that can be kept from the handicapper. And it's what's called exposed at that point. So you tend to look for unexposed horses in handicap races because they've got the potential to improve past their current handicap mark. That's a bit of a generality, but that's what I'm putting emphasis on when it comes to looking at Orby's Legend. Again, breeding looks good for this particular race. It's got some cracking speed figures as well. So it's the sort of type of horse that I would go for. But again, there's plenty of others in this race that were on my long shortlist last night. So that takes us through to the sixth race, which is another steeplechase. I'm going to have a bet on Dolos in this one, trained by Paul Nichols, trading at around about 10, 12 to 1. Lots in its favour. Again, good speed figures. It lost its way a little bit last season. It's a course winner, though. It's back to a winning mark. By that, I mean its handicap mark that it races off today is the same as the handicap mark that it's won off in the past. So, theoretically, if it reproduces the form it's capable of in the past, it's going to go close today. Okay, that's me just sort of quick run through the cards. Let's see what sort of a mug that turns me into come the end of the day when the results are known. Having gone to town about how fantastic it is to be back jumps racing again, there's a big race meeting at Newmarket today featuring probably my favourite flat race of the season, which is the Cesarewitch. The Cesarewitch is a handicap race and it's over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. And the horses basically start in Cambridgeshire and end up in Suffolk. So they race for the most part miles out of anyone's view. And you just got to really rely on the racecourse commentator to give you a good steer as to what's happening. It's an insane event. There's upwards of 30 horses and you can't really see what's happening until it comes into the last couple of furlongs. That doesn't sound like a whole bunch of fun, but for me, it is one of the great races, purely because of the insane nature of it, I think. It's also a race I've been quite lucky in betting over the years. There's a horse that won back in the 90s called Inch K-Lock, which was my first ever big winner. It's trained by Jeff King, 1996, I think that was. So I always have a bet in the Cesarewitch, and I'll be pulling myself away from the racing at Chepstow just to go somewhere and watch it on a screen and see if my two horses, Rushan and Gubinator, can do me a favour in the Cesarewitch. One thing that's definitely changed, and I think it's probably a COVID thing, although I'm not entirely sure why, is that everywhere is card only. Even the fast food joints, card only. In fact, the only place you can use cash is probably with the bookies, which sort of begs the question is, you have a great big winner, you get paid out in cash, what's the first thing you want to do? Go and celebrate, but you can't use your winnings to pay for your bottle of champagne because it's card only. I think it's a society thing. I don't think it's necessarily a racing thing, but I think we might be missing a trick in the racing world if we marginalise cash to the extent that it seems to be happening at Chepstow today. There's a thoughty thought to go with. One of the great joys of racing is its accessibility. I'm down in the pre-parade ring. It's really quiet, and basically this is the place where the horses, once they're tacked up and they've got all their, they've got their saddles and so on, they're just led around. And as the name implies, it's before they actually go into the parade ring itself. So this is the place where real hardcore aficionados go. I would definitely suggest it's worthwhile venturing down to the pre-parade ring. If you go for a day at the races, it's quiet. You can get to see the horses up front and personal. It's very interesting being amongst paddock watchers. Paddock watching, which is basically looking at the horses before they race to look at how fit they look. Paddock watching is a bit of a dark art, so much so that I tend to think it's bullshit baffling brains for the most part. There are one or two paddock watchers who are pretty sort of stellar examples of the art, but there's a lot of bluffers, people that think they know what they're looking at and don't really. I'd sort of class myself in that group. I know a horse that looks grossly unfit and fat, but then again, I think most people do. But after that, it's all a little bit of a guesswork. I think you get more, in certainly in the preliminaries of a race, by watching a horse that goes down to post. You can see whether it's striding out, whether it's looking nervous, whether it's looking upset, whether it's looking slightly sort of coltish or not. But for the most part, I think paddock watching is it's fun, and I think it's something you should definitely do at any race meeting. Get yourself down to the pre-parade ring, if only just to see these magnificent animals, as close as you're ever going to get to while being an actual owner. They're circulating round in front of about a dozen of us down here, I guess. There's a couple of potential trainers that are in the middle of the paddock watching their horses, a couple of owners as well. They're just about to leave the pre-parade ring to go to the parade ring proper. So we're about 15 minutes away from the off of the first race. Let's take a wander up to the parade ring and see them along with the rest of the members of the general public. Just walking up to the parade ring from the pre-parade ring, I was having a chat with trainer Alan King. He just buttonholed me and so I looked overdressed for the day, which I am. It's red hot and I'm here in a jacket. It was freezing cold yesterday at Newmarket. I thought it would be the same today. It isn't. But what a sport.
Been a little natter on the way up. He doesn't think he's going to do much today with his horses. He needs a lot of luck, but wish him good luck for the season. And it's things like that, it's little cameos like that, that I live for when I come racing. Just being able to chat with one of the leading trainers in the country, not to get any inside information, not to see if a horse of his is going to win, not to get any free tips from somebody, but just exchanging pleasantries on the race course. That is what racing is all about for me. And you get yourself involved in racing to any kind of degree, and you'll find little cameos like that happen time and time and time again. You just bump into some of the leading lights, and for the most part, providing you're civil, they will give you their time. You can have a chat with them, and you can feel part of the racing family, certainly more so than any other sport that I've ever been involved in. Famous last words about getting to have a look at the horses in the parade ring. There's a crowd, a good two or three deep around the parade ring here. In fact, I would say there's a pretty big turnout for today's meeting. I think the race course have got to feel really proud of themselves in attracting so many people for what is still the early days of the jump season. The lovely weather's helped, of course, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get to see many of these horses in the parade ring proper. As I say, not that I know much about the deep details of paddock watching. I'm going to go down to the furlong pole now and just watch the horses they run down to the start, see if I can glean anything from them. One other quick thought about cash versus cards. I said earlier on about how cards seem to be taking over, card payments seem to be taking over at the racecourse. You can't really pay for anything other than your betting with anything other than a card at the moment. And obviously there's some kind of rationale behind that. But I think this may well be alienating older people who are not used to paying for everything by card. They very much come from the cash is king culture. Something again that racing needs to come to terms with and to grapple with. Are you alienating older people by insisting on card only payments pretty much everywhere on a race course nowadays? So there's no assumed knowledge with the wrap. So just to put you in the picture, this first race is a hurdle race. If you go to a jumps meeting and look out on the race course, you'll see that there are two kind of obstacles. Smaller angled obstacles, which are hurdles, and then big, upright, slightly taller obstacles, which are for steeplechase races. I'd say this may sound quite patronising for those of you that know you're racing, but for those of you that are new to the sport, there are hurdle races, which are over the smaller obstacles, and the race we're just about to see now is a juvenile hurdle. So they'll be going over the smaller, about sort of 3 foot higher obstacles, and later on we'll be seeing some chasers which will be going over the much bigger fences. So there you go, you've learnt something hopefully. Don't say the wrap doesn't teach you anything. So I'm down by the final hurdle, just watching the horses go down to the start for this first race. Nothing major to report at this stage. They all seem to be going down fairly well, considering they're still, like I keep saying, they're still babies. They seem fairly relaxed. Let's hope they all come back safely as well. 2 minutes to race time then. If you go to the races and you pay for a premium badge or premium enclosure, you can pretty much go anywhere on the race course, obviously barring to owners and trainers and the boxes. I definitely suggest you get yourself down to the final fence or the final hurdle and just see the speed with which these animals approach the fences, and just marvel at the bravery of the jockeys. They sort of hurl their horses at 30 plus miles an hour over these obstacles. You get right into the guts of a race, and it's just something you will never ever understand if you just catch your racing purely on the TV. So I'm down at the final hurdle now. 2 minutes to race time. The horses are just circulating round. Again, I'm trying to put myself in the position of every man, every woman that goes racing. I know for the most part people go and socialise, have a nice time and have a few drinks, and that's great, but definitely do take some time out to wander around the race course. A, you're entitled to, so don't just sort of feel you've got to stay in one place for the whole of the day. B, you bump into some really interesting people. And C, you get to see what racing is all about, live and raw and in the flesh. If you do get yourself down to the final fence, down to the final hurdle, into the middle of the race course, that is where you get into the real guts of horse racing. You're entitled to do that, so make the most of your entitlement. 1 minute to race time. So here we go, they're off for the first race. They're coming down to the first fence. They're going to do two circuits. Flicked over the first hurdle. Everyone's standing up. They've got one more circuit to go. Come back in about 5 minutes and see how they've got on when we come to the final fence at the end of the next circuit. So we're just swinging off the top bend. The odds on favourite is in the lead. He's being pushed by the second Rocky Man, who has just stolen the lead. Both jockeys are pushing away. I'll let the crowd tell you who's going to win. It's a lot closer than Betty would have said. The odds on favourite is just pulling out a little bit more. If I had my money on the odds on favourite, I'd be a bit worried though. He's not winning like an odds on favourite should do. I think he's just about got it. No, I think he's got it now. They're coming down to the final fence. He's just got to ping the final fence. It's a little bit hairy there for a second, but Magistrato pings the final obstacle. Rocky Man gives his chase. Magistrato, the odds-on favourite, wins. The crowd around me seem very pleased with that result. One for the crowd there. The bookies took a bit of a bashing on that one. It was an odds-on favourite. That is what racing's all about. The big thing worth saying now that everything, the action has calmed down, is that all the horses got back safely, which is good. These are, I must keep stressing, these are only baby horses, juveniles. They'll have learnt a lot from the race, come first or come last. But as I say, the big thing is for all of us, owners, trainers, jockeys, and particularly race guys, is that the horses do go back safely. You never, ever want to be cheering a horse that falls, even if it means that the horse that you've backed wins. Just don't do it. It's classless. And if the rap is going to teach you anything, you never cheer a faller. Like I said previously, I'm often happy to let the first race go by and just see what I can learn from it. Not much as it goes from that last one. The favourite did it really nicely and will probably make a decent enough chaser in a few years' time. I've had a look at this, the second race, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles, so another fairly sort of short, quick race. Had a bit of a look at it last night. I think the favourite is going to be All Mankind, number one. Yes, he's top of the weights, but he's been chasing. This is a hurdles race. And his chasing mark, remember what we talked about previously with regard to handicap marks, his chasing mark is much, much higher than his hurdles mark. So theoretically, he should be class above the other horses in this race. Obviously, he's got to carry more weight, but he looks the class horse, and certainly punters think so as well. He's going to be around about the 5-2 favourite, I think. Possible front runner as well, so I expect to see him go at it from the front. Of the others that I had a look at, quite like the look of Master's Legacy, number 4, trained by Philip Hobbs, who's in good form at the moment. He was 6th last time out, but that was at the back end of last season. You like to see them, in general, showing a bit more better form in their most recent races, but I think we can forgive him a race 197 days ago. It's more to do now with how fit the horses are now on their seasonal debut. And Philip Hobbs seems to have got his stable in pretty good nick at the moment. He's got good breeding as well, for based on previous runners of this race. For those of you that have followed the rap for the longest time, go back and have a look at the episode which I analysed the Kazoo St. Ledger. I put a lot of emphasis on the dosage index, which I explain in depth in the preview I did of the St. Ledger. Master's Legacy has got really good dosage profile based on previous winners of this race. He's unexposed. We talked about being unexposed earlier on. He's only had a few races, and he's only £1 above his previous winning mark as well. So all in all, he looks a worthy rival. Not enough for me to put my hand in my pocket, but as I say, for me, it's more about understanding what I'm going to be watching in a race. If All Mankind doesn't win, I want to know why. If Master's Legacy doesn't run as well as I think he's going to, I want to know why. If one of the horses that I haven't considered runs better than I've thought they would do, I want to know why. But you can only do that if you start off with an opinion on a race, and you can only do that if you put the hard mileage in and looked at the race in some depth. And that's what we talk about when we talk about form study. 6 times out of 10, I will study a race and I won't have a bet as a result of it, which sounds counterintuitive, it sounds daft. You think you've put all that effort in, why aren't you going to have a bet? Doesn't often work like that. Sometimes best just to sit out a race, learn from it. So here we are then in the parade ring before the second race. Jockeys just coming into the ring. I think you've got to be brought up with horses and have a lifetime living, breathing, sleeping with horses almost, to understand exactly what a horse in prime condition looks like. This is going to sound really patronising, but I often find that when I go racing with women in particular, if they're going for the first time, they will often have an intuitive, almost sixth sense of what a fit racehorse looks like or what a happy racehorse looks like. Don't ask me why, maybe it's a maternal instinct, who knows. But in terms of a day at the races, it's never complete until you've actually gone down to the parade ring, had a look at the horse in the paddock, and you can see if horses are enjoying themselves. Most of these horses are 5, 6, 7 years of age. They've been around a racehorse long enough. Sometimes on the flat in 2-year-old races, when a horse comes into the ring for the first time, it's a completely novel experience for it, and you can see them getting worried and upset and sweating and acting what we euphemistically call cultish. This is a family podcast, so I'll leave you to draw your own conclusion as to what cultish means. But sometimes you can see horses acting like their mind's not totally on racing. These old boys, they know what's happening. None of them are acting untoward. All of them look fairly fit enough to my eye, so not really adding an awful lot in there. But it's good to be down around the side of the ring, hanging out with the race guys. This is some shit that's being shot by people that think they know what they're talking about. All adds to the fun of a day at the races. Let's see what they come back like, though, in about 10 minutes' time. Quick note, Master's Legacy is 12-1. Maybe I should have backed him after all. I'm tempted. No, discipline is everything. I don't have a strong enough opinion on his ability to go and win this, but I'm interested to see how he runs anyway. Point of order on the housekeeping front. There was one mare running in this next race, Galice Macalo. So sorry for being a sexist pig in my last comments about all the boys or geldings behaving themselves in the last race. It was all the boys and the geldings and the mare, Galice Macalo. So they've all gone down to post really smartly, really without any trouble at all, as you'd expect. These are all mature animals. None of them are going to be playing silly beggars. So again, just let's hope they all come back safely. Bit of fun and games at the start here. Scarlet Dragon is having to be led in, which goes against what I've just said about all these horses being mature and knowing their way around a race course. It's rare to see them being led in. He's joined the rest of them circulating around at the top of the track now. So maybe it's just a funny little flickering across his horsey synapses up at the start. He's in now. They're all walking in now. So panic over. Game on. They're off. Well, hey-ho. Scarlet Dragon has refused to take part. So what do I know about anything? Clearly there was something wrong with him. And he's planted his feet and he's not going an inch. So the race is down to 8 horses now. Here we go, listen to this. There you go, that says it all, doesn't it? Sometimes you have just got to laugh. Master's Legacy flattened the third hurdle. Didn't look to be travelling an inch at the back of the pack, turning for home. Sprouted wings about 3 furlongs out and came with a rare rattle at the end to make me look brilliant on one level for picking it out and an absolute prat on another level for not having backed it. So sometimes you've just got to laugh. Master's Legacy wins. Brilliant tipping from yours truly. Lousy punting from yours truly because I didn't have a penny on it. Okay, I don't propose to go through the circuit in racing, which is basically pre-parade ring, parade ring, watch the race, and then come back and review afterwards. I don't propose to talk you through that again. We've been through that already. All I would say is if you're going to have a day at the races, get out and about. Make sure you do see everything that the race day has to offer. I'm just going to go and park myself up in the stand. I say I've already backed a horse in the next race, Court Master, on Betfair. So there's nothing more to be done. I'm not going to go and have a look at it in the paddock. That, whilst interesting, it may be a bit boring for you guys listening to me rabbit on about horse in the paddock again. It'll run. Let's see how it runs. Hopefully it'll win. And we'll be celebrating in around sort of 15, 20 minutes time after the race. You'll have seen this in the form book already. Court Master pulled up. He was travelling about 4 wide, going the long way around for most of the race. I think he might have hit a couple of fences as well down the back straight. Looked like his jumping was a little bit to cock. The jockey looked after him. So there's the result of the race. Yeah, I was saying about Court Master. Completely did not perform as I would have expected, but that's life. Tip but didn't back the last one. tipped, backed this one, and the thing pulled up. So there we go. That's life. Never in doubt, frequently wrong. That's the motto that you've got to go to war with when you're backing horses. This next race is a novice steeplechase. It's a listed class race, so it's a fairly sort of high class event. Just to recap, novices are first season chasers. This is a novice chase. So these horses are having their first season over the bigger obstacles. Six runners were declared, one non-runner killed Teely Briggs. That's almost certainly on the basis of the ground. He's a mudlark and will be seen to much better effect in real deep winter ground. Going here today is good. They've had to water it last night, and it's been a really nice hot sunny day today, so it's probably maybe even firmer than the actual description of good going. So Kiltearly Briggs is a non-runner. No real opinion on any of the others. As I said at the top, I think Fidelio Vallis will probably go close, if not win. He's trained by Paul Nichols. Nichols is your winner. He really likes this meeting. He often aims his better horses at the race. The owner is a guy called John Hales, who I've seen on the course today. It was his horse, One Man, right back in the 90s, that really got me into horse racing. So be nice if this was a winner for Mr. Hales. That's just the big-hearted romantic in me speaking. It'll be a nice win for anybody that backs the winner. Good luck if you did, because obviously you'll know the result by the time this podcast goes out. It's probably too far for me to come on a regular basis, Chepstow. I live close to London. By rights, I should probably be at Newmarket today, but you can't help the lure of the jumps, and I'm really pleased to have been here and seen Chepstow in all its glory on a really, really lovely day. I think one of the main things to say, besides the racing, is the absolute turnout here from the crowd. Whilst probably more people turn up for Welsh Grand National Day between Christmas and New Year, there's a fair-sized crowd out, considering it's just the start of the season. Maybe it's the good weather. I like to think it's all about the racing. And everyone seems to have made a real effort in terms of their dress as well. I'm not immune to the idea that a day at the races often does involve dressing up, and why not? But there's plenty of really smart South Welsh men and women that have really gone to town and looking sharp, looking good. The blokes have got the whole GQ thing going on. The girls are looking great. And if that's what gets you motivated for a day at the races, then you go for it. Really impressed with South Wales and going into Gok Wan mode. They couldn't be looking any finer. Just grabbed the quick cup of coffee between races. Fidelio Vallis came second in that last race. He jumped like an absolute stag, was right in the lead until probably about two out, was joined by the eventual winner, T Clipper, and T Clipper just sort of seemed to outstay him a little bit. T Clipper actually won what is now going to be the next race on this card last year. So obviously, A, likes this time of year, and B, likes Chepstow. But they're two decent horses. That was a really good class race. Obviously, it was a listed class race. Fairly sort of high class horses competing in it. I'd take Fidelio Vallis out of this race. I think T Clipper, whilst a good horse, probably likes it best round Chepstow. Fidelio Vallis will win races, should I say, at some point this year in the hands of his trainer Paul Nichols. It was not to be for Mr. Hales. Still, onwards to the next race, which is probably the biggest betting race of the day, about 2.5 miles. Big handicap hurdle. I've got a bet that I'm going to have in this race, which is Orby's Legend, which I'll talk about in a second. And then it's a quick sprint from the stand to a television somewhere where I can try and watch the Cesarewitch, which goes off at Newmarket 5 minutes later. So this is what happens when you're into your racing. Stuff comes thick and fast, and you've got to prioritise things. So necking a quick coffee now. We'll have a quick run around to see a race live here at Chepstow, and then the race, the big race, the big betting handicap race of the day over 2 miles, 2 furlongs at Newmarket. Okay, so having a look then at this next race, the fifth race, the Silver Trophy Handicap Hurdle Race. I'm having a bet in it, and it's number 14, Orby's Legend. The shortlist that I put together studying this race yesterday comprised 6 horses in total. Of the horses that look a danger to my one, I like the look of Jacamar, but I think that probably needs softer ground. I really like the look of Blackstairs Rocco. It's a horse that's been sent over from Ireland by trainer Emmett Mullins. Well-bred. He doesn't send horses over here for fun. he's well known at Tilton at English rate, at big English handicap races. And more often than not, he goes back to Ireland with the money in the sack. So I think Blackstairs Rocco is a real big player in this race. Another horse that I liked was Torrigini. He's an unexposed horse. Got a series of excellent speed fingers. Goes well on good ground. This step up in trip should suit him as well, so he could be a real big player. The horse that I'm backing, though, is Orby's Legend, trained by Philip Hobbs, who, as we know, is in really good form at the moment. The horse likes good ground, which he's got today. He's got a very good sort of attitude as well. He battles hard in his races. He's probably going to be going novice chasing a little bit later on, but I think his canny trainer will have aimed him at this race with a view to exploiting his handicap mark over the smaller obstacles. He seems a classy animal as well, certainly based on his speed figures, which are exemplary. I like his breeding. He's got a lot going for him. So he's my choice in this race, number 14, Orby's Legend. See how that race goes, and then it's a quick dash to a TV screen to watch the Cesarewit, where I could win an absolute fortune on Rashoon, slightly less of a fortune on the Gubinator. Going to be a busy few minutes, but let's see how things pan out.
Get in there! Go! Go, Orby's! Go, Orby's! Get in there, my son! Ooh, easy boy, easy boy! And that is what racing is all about. Woohoo! So that's what the race is all about, a winner, having a shout. Orby's Legend did it with some degree of ease. He sat a little bit too much for my liking at the end, but he got it done nicely. And we go home in profit.
Well, that was a mental few minutes. Had a nice winner here at Chepstow in the shape of Orby's Legend. Got that last night at about 9-1, so we're going to be in profit for the day. Was a good ride from Tom Cannon. Hobbs stable is absolutely flying at the moment, so just back the stable cat. They put that into a race, it'll give you a run for your money. Not such pucker form over at Newmarket. Well, I think Gubinator did the best out of Mitre, came about fifth or sixth, something like that. Backed it to win, so I'm not going to get any money out of that one. But there we go. It was a spectacle. It always is, the Cesarewitch. A wall of horses thundering over 2 miles and 2 furlongs of prime Newmarket real estate. What's not to like in terms of it being a spectacle? Betting could have gone better, but that's not what a day at the race is all about anyway. But having said that, into this next race, and Dolos will be my last bet of the bay, last bet of the day even. It likes the course. I think it's going to go well in this class. It's been tried at graded level, and it's not really up to that sort of level. But at this sort of class 2 level, I think it'll make its presence felt in this race. As usual, it ticks boxes in terms of breeding and in terms of its speed figures. It's back to a winning mark now in terms of its handicap mark. So for those of you that have been paying attention throughout this, you know what a handicap mark is. It's back to the mark that it won at previously. It likes Chepstow, can go well fresh. So it's all looking particularly good for our horse Dolos. So it's going to be my last bet of the day. Overall, Chepstow, you have been wonderful. Thoroughly enjoyed my day out in Wales.
Here's the thing, in addition to horse racing, I love music, but I don't like the two together. And just before the sixth race goes off, there's an Oasis tribute band playing in a big marquee at the back of the stand. Tribute bands are about the lamest thing you can ever get in music. If you've got the skill and ability to be able to play guitar, bass and drums, what the hell are you doing wasting that talent, doing stuff that other people have done way, way better than yourself years before under the guise of being in a tribute band? Tribute bands can just go die as far as I'm concerned. Probably more importantly, what are they doing putting a tribute band on anyway? And what are they doing putting it on when race 6 is yet to be run? Come to the races, get stuck into horse racing, see all that horse racing has got to give you, which is plenty. Let your pulse quicken by seeing horses run and jump, and not seeing and listening to a lame tribute band play out the back of Chepstow Racecourse. It's lightweight and it's pathetic. Dolos ran particularly badly then. It lost its form towards the back end of last season. I thought that was because it was flying a little bit too high in graded company. I thought the drop in class back to class 2 company today would bring about an improvement in it. It didn't. It probably beat one home, but needs to drop another several pounds in the handicap, have its sights lowered, and it's probably a little bit regressive these days, but he's in good hands with Paul Nichols, so we'll have to see what becomes of Dolos over the forthcoming season.
that's it. Drawing stumps for the day today. There's one more race to go, but I've got a 150-mile journey ahead of me now back home. But what a brilliant day it's been. Lovely to be back on a race course again. Day at the race is never a bad day out, win, lose or draw. Had a couple of winners, which is great. Going away with a profit, which is always a good way to leave a race course. Met some interesting people. And Chepstow, I particularly love you. You're nice people. A lot of Welsh hospitality flying around. I'm aware that the podcast that is going to come out from all of this is going to be a bit sort of all over the place, which is kind of the way I want it to be. A day at the races is a bit of a maelstrom. There's stuff hitting you left, right and centre from all over the shop. It's important to prepare beforehand. But then when the racing starts to unfold, it feels like all hell gets let loose and there's bookies prices flying around, there's races happening, there's things to be learned, there's horses to be viewed, there's lessons to be learned afterwards. And it's good to have a plan to go into action with. Hopefully some of that comes across in the podcast that's going to come off the back of today's outing at Chepstow. One other quick thing that Chepstow gets really right, or has got really right today, is I came across this story on Twitter, which I'm not a huge user of, but you've got to be on it these days, really, haven't you? There was a woman who's been abused, and she's a racing fan, and she wanted to go racing, but she was scared, and her abuser had sort of threatened to follow her to Chepstow and make her life a misery. The operations director at Chepstow, a chap called Glyn Morgan, took it upon himself to set up a safe area, a quiet area, where people can go and just take some sort of time out and feel and be safe. He also reached out to the woman in question and said, look, if there's any personal abuse that you're receiving at the course, anything that happens to you on course, contact me directly and I'll deal with it. That was done very sort of quietly. I don't know if it's a one-off, but I think those sort of initiatives need to be applauded. You want to feel safe, and hopefully I've been able to get across today what a fun and brilliant and inclusive and life-affirming sport racing is. And for the most part it is, but only if everyone is cool. And when they're not, that is when racing really does step up to the mark. So I don't know the guy, but major kudos to the operations director at Chepstow for putting in place on the quiet such a grand and groundbreaking initiative.
So there we go then. And whilst that may have sounded like a stream of consciousness at some points, like I said, in the live element of the podcast, there's so much going on a race day. And for me, opening myself up to everything that can happen, the getting suited and booted beforehand, the punting, the preparation for punting, the chance encounters with folks you'll probably never see again, but with whom you have a shared bond for a few minutes, united by the simple act of you both being there, the horses, the smells, the sounds, the sights. Man, for me, life can rarely be bettered. I hope I was able to get some of that across in this episode. Nothing more to be said, really, other than the usual heartfelt thanks for giving up your time to listen to this podcast. It's time of yours, which I never, ever take for granted. So, until the next time we get together, for now, that's a wrap.